Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is such a special day for two reasons. Okay, three. Alice is on with us. Hey, Alice, how are you?
Oh, hi, Steve.
Quick. Okay. And then, I'm glad you're here, of course. But I want to get to two really new things. Mylon Jurkovic is back with us in the studio. And so, if you want to join Mylon and Alice, we've missed you, Mylon, so
have.
Much, and can't wait to hear how bad everything's been going. And we've got Shelley Martinkus on the line here in just a second. But Mylon, really, so glad you're back, and we just missed you a lot. And I hope that you're anything you want to say about being back?
Well, I'm glad to be back. It's been a little while,
you're back.
Of course we are doing everything we can, Kay and I as a family, to watch our precautions, obviously, during this pandemic. And so we wanted to reduce our circulation.
Yeah.
And so far it's worked. So we're here and glad to be here. Glad to be back with you all. And this, of course, has felt like home for many years. So it's good to be back.
You are so appreciated and never more so than when you're gone, and we kind of have a little void here.
Glad to be here.
While we can, I want to talk. Yeah, thanks for coming back. You know, you could have gone on to some other radio show. But Shelley Martinkus is on the line, everybody, and I want to talk with her because we've got a great thing coming up. Shelley, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Maybe not. Oh, there she is.
Hello?
Yeah, we can now. Hey, Shelley, you have created... You've created something that's so special, so healing, so transforming of a woman who has been traumatized or hurt by a man who has had a problem with sexual integrity. Tell everybody about it because it's just around the corner.
That's right. We're so excited. So this is really a special opportunity because we're doing Restore this Saturday, June 20th, and it's online. So for women that, for whatever reason, have not been able to come to one of our in-person workshops, this is a fabulous opportunity to come and get some tools and some help and hope and, you know, be a part of a breakout group with a professional therapist. So it's going to be a packed day, I warn you, but it's going to be really, like you said, transformative, and I'm really excited about it.
Okay, Shelley, someone might say, yeah, but he's not willing to get any help for himself, so why should I come to this?
Oh, well, I think that's an even bigger reason to come, right? If he's in denial and he's like, nope, I don't need to do anything, for the wife to come and to, you know, to get the tools and to figure out, like, oh, to get the validation even, that yes, what I'm asking for from him is legitimate to ask for. That in and of itself, you know, it could really, it could change her life. So even a bigger reason if he's not interested in healing.
All right, so I don't care what your strategy has been. If it hasn't worked, you come and you're going to leave there with some new insight you didn't have before. And Shelley Martinkus, she is the wife of Jason, who does every man's battle in there. They literally are transforming people's lives every day, every month with us, and thousands have been helped. Why don't you just call and check it out? Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If finances are a problem, call and let us see if we can figure something out for you. Scholarship money is available. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Shelley. We'll be back after this at 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're glad that you're with us here. If you want to join us on the radio, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you. And we've got two programs, this one and then one right after. And both of them you can watch on Facebook Live. And here we go. Let's go to Bob. He has called us on 1-800-229-3000. He's calling from Boston, Massachusetts, WEZE. Hey, Bob, how you doing? What's going on?
I'd like to say I'm doing well, but I've been conflicted over this weekend. It's been rough. It's been a rough weekend in terms of things. I am divorced. My ex-wife has the girls. Okay. And in the proceedings, the main thing I fought for was that I got to see my girls every weekend, for either a full day or a day and a half, 2 days. Since the virus has occurred, because they live with her parents, there was a suggestion, not sure who necessarily it came from, that they not visit so that her parents, you know, reduce the risk of her catching them catching the viruses.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand
right. That.
I think it's farcical on its face for other reasons, but we'll let that be. It's now been 2 months since I've seen my girls, or thereabouts, since middle of March. Texting my eldest on Friday. In the ensuing conversation, it got to the point where things are coming back to normal, and I asked her, when do you feel you can start visiting again? Response, I don't know. Whenever and wherever it happens, I doubt we'll be able to sleep over. My response, oh, why not? Her response, eldest and youngest don't totally love sleeping over. I'm keeping the names out, by the way. Mainly because it's more comfortable in our house, plus we hardly get to see you most of Saturday, and when we stay on Sundays, we like going to our church more anyway because we have friends there. My response,
okay.
That's so tough a lot, to hear, but I can understand your feelings. Go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to have to get to the question here. I get it that you're on way different pages here, and you probably think a lot of damage is being done with what's being said to them. How right. can we help
so
you? What's your question?
My question
for us?
is what I can understand from a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old's perspective that they want to spend time with their friends. How do I deal with my feelings in that is going to be much less time with them than I even had? And how can I not take it personally because they don't feel comfortable sleeping over at my place?
Okay. I'm wondering if you've thought of any way you could accommodate the adjustment. Like, is it only Saturday or Sunday that you could see them? Is there any adjustment to your schedule that could help, or just from that perspective before we get into the other stuff?
The nature of my job and the nature of my business is not conducive necessarily for consistent hours on a weekly basis in that mm-hmm. I'm a service type of industry, and so I just don't know when I can do what and when. And even still, if I could account, you know, if I do something in the middle of the week, you know, at best I can, you know, take them out to dinner. Now I'm kind of feeling like the Disneyland dad, that the only thing I can do is take them out to dinner
yeah.
and spend money on them and not have time with them.
Well, let's throw this open to Alice and to Mylon and see what their thoughts are. And then having been through exactly what you've been through, I'll close with some final thoughts here. But Alice, Mylon, what do you guys think would be best, or what are your thoughts here?
Bob, what a compounding loss you're going through. 2 months of not being able to see your daughters, and now the visits you used to have seem like they are disappearing little by little as well. And of course, there's a history here with your ex-wife. How does it go between you and your ex-wife and your ex-in-laws to balance out and coordinate your time with the girls in general? Have you always felt like they've undermined that, or have they ever been supportive of it for you?
I have felt, even through the proceedings, that it's been rather undermined. There was a suggestion that I had put out for a schedule that would have allowed for 50-50, more or less. And the response was rather that they were feeling offended because they needed their quality time with the girls. And I kind of thought to myself, okay, what am I, chopped liver? You know, 50-50 would be equal time. And it was actually something more like, you know, 60-40, if that, maybe, you know, at best. I was trying to be accommodating, and their response was they needed their quality time.
And in these new events that have occurred, what have you done in reaching out to the in-laws and the ex-wife to try to get the time back with your daughters? How has that gone?
I have not tried to reach out to the in-laws or the ex-wife, because any time that there has been any reaching out, it's been more of a toxic reply than anything else. And so I just assume not reach out to them for anything. They pretty much get, you know, they asked for the girls not to come because they don't want the in-laws to possibly get the virus. Fine. You're going to receive what you asked for. I'm not going to fight that.
But if you don't talk with them, Bob, if you don't talk with them, you're expecting a 10 and a 14-year-old to work out something that you have to work out yourself. You have to talk with them. I mean, were you thinking that there was some solution to this without actually talking with them? You have to.
Well, I was expecting that when things were getting back to normal, that we would go back to normal, and that I would have my girls on the weekend.
Yeah, but
again,
they're telling you that they're not going to go back to normal, and now you're saying that you haven't talked with them about this new information that you have, and it seems like that's something that's going to have to take place here if anything good is going to come from it.
So, Bob, to take what Steve is advising, and you're wondering, what do you do with the feelings that you have? Well, I think you have to identify that you probably feel a bit powerless in what you can do with the adults in this situation. And worried, probably you feel certain that they're not going to be helpful if you reach out to them. But I think Steve is right. Your time with your girls is on the line. And if you don't risk speaking with the adults again and advocating for yourself and your time with the girls, and to do it humbly, to do it kindly and gently, even looking for ways that you can be of more assistance to these adults, whether it's you offering to take the girls to their church and working to make the time for that, even with your irregular schedule. This is such a crucial time, and you know that, a crucial time to stay as much in your daughter's lives as you possibly can. And I think that it is worth risking another toxic response from the adults.
Okay,
so, Mylon, what's your take on this? What do you think? What do you advise here?
How long have the girls been in this setting where you guys have been divorced and they're with their grandparents and mother? How long has that been?
The divorce has now been about 2 years.
Okay, so they have 2 years of this experience of living with their mother.
Hang on. The divorce has been about 2 years.
Yes.
They've been living with the new house got purchased about a year ago. So they've been in the house with their grandparents for a year. Mm-hmm. The divorce has taken place over 2 years. Me having them every weekend has been about 2 years.
Got it. Well, there are several things. I totally agree with Steve and Alice on this, that the fallacy of divorce is you're not divorced. You have two children. You'll always have to coordinate mm-hmm. together. You will have to be a team for the betterment of these two girls. And so to have conversations that are regular conversations where you're trying to work out together a plan that is best for them and the family, et cetera, et cetera. Additionally, these girls are 12 and 14, and they're going to start to emerge as their own persons with their own thoughts and feelings and emotions. And it isn't just something that is to be decided for them. You're going to have to cultivate a relationship with each one of them. It's not just your girls. It's the 12-year-old and the 14-year-old. And then finding creative ways to do that, because their requests may be very genuine. They do like their friends. I like what you said, Alice. Maybe you could take them to their – he could take them to their church and participate that way. And as they enter in through adolescence, there's going to be a lot of adapting both you and your ex-wife are going to have to do, because they're going to really shift. There's going to be a lot of movement in their preferences, their hopes, their dreams, the things they're interested in, the things that they're not interested in. Staying in touch and connected to a teenager is elusive. I've done it multiple times with my kids. And Bob, it's very attainable, but you have to be very persistent as a dad.
So Bob, my hope for you is that you don't let your...
them, I...
Go ahead, Steve.
No, go ahead, Alice.
My hope for you, Bob, is that you don't let your feelings direct your actions,
right?
Because your feelings are telling you, I think, to pull back, especially right. from the adults, and you have to move beyond that and recognize that your feelings are not a helpful guide for you in this particular situation.
Bob, would you say you pulled back?
You know, I wish we had better. I wish we had better advice for you that was more pleasing to you, I guess is what I'd say, maybe different, because I know you don't want to hear this. But look, if you're them, you absolutely would not want to be going to school 5 days a week with your friends, and then Saturday, Sunday, you're off with your dad and you can't have access to those friends. So somehow you have to go to them for your Saturday and Sunday, where they can be with you. It's breakfast, it's time together, and then they've got time with their friends, and it's not going to be convenient for you. It's going to really take some tough stuff. But if you don't, you lose them altogether, because they're not going to, I mean, you want them to choose you over friends, but if they're normal kids, they want their friends, and especially in this kind of divorce situation. So I feel for you. It is painful. Mylon, I'm sorry, I jumped on something you were about to say there. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. I was just kind of piggybacking with Alice here, that I was asking Bob, did you alluded to the fact that he was retreating or pulling back, and I was asking Bob, do you think you did that in your marriage? Do you think that when pressure hit, you would pull back and retreat, even in your marriage?
Yeah, and you know, it's so common that you literally, and you think the other person's the problem, but you kind of cease to exist mm-hmm. in their mind if your strategy is retreat. I'm going to send you this book, Raising Great Kids, right along with How We Love Our Kids. I think those two books can really help you develop some understanding here. But look at some of Ron Deal's stuff on separated families and some of the things that he talks about on blended families. You're kind of in a blended family, as if she has married her parents there, and some of the same dynamics are at play here. You need every bit of insight you have, but any kind of concept of being a victim here versus doing what you can do to accommodate, adjust, try to solve the problem with them. That's got to be your strategy. And no pulling back, no withdrawing. You have to uncomfortably ask them to help you come up with a solution. And I could give you some statistics on what happens when dads walk out of a child's life out of frustration. And that's the real danger here, is you get so frustrated Because they're just being normal, saying, I want to be with my friends, and then you think they're rejecting you. They're not. They're just being normal kids. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number. We'd love for you to call if you have a question. Here for 2 hours. You can also watch us on Facebook Live right now.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. I really, you know, I just believe if everybody knew how horrible divorce was versus thinking, oh, well, there's an option, I just think you would just do so much to not let it happen. You know, you would just work so hard, be willing to do so much. Both parties would. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. And as horrible it is for you, it's more horrible for the young people. So, you know, when we do this Finding Freedom workshop, if you're ready to walk out the door, you come to that, and you probably are not going to walk out the door. It just happens over and over again. We've been able to help these marriages, and I just can't, I wish I could convince you of how much easier it is to attend a workshop that could change everything versus go down that road of divorce. Horrible. That's why we hate it. I think that's why God hates it. We want you to stay together, but to stay together in a totally different way. All right, let's go to let's go over here to Beth. We talk with Beth. Beth, how are you? And what's going on in your life today?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you so much. So I have a question. I don't know what to do. What's the right thing to do? I want to make things right with God. And so here's my question. I've been married to my husband for almost 10 years now. And we got only married in town hall. We always plan on getting married in church, but that has not happened yet. And part of the reason is because last 2 years, my husband hasn't been intimate with me. So my question is, do I want to be able to receive communion? And can I be in this relationship as it is right now, or do I need to get married in church in order to be in right standing with God, even though I don't really have an intimate relationship with my husband?
Okay, Beth, I'm going to let Mylon start with one half, but I just want to say you don't have to be married in a church to be right with God. So you can just be married, and that's all you need there. I don't think that is something that's going against you there because you didn't get married in a church. So, Mylon, you want to handle the rest of this, and then Alice?
Well, I will certainly try. Beth, that's a horrible situation. I can tell you're conflicted on many fronts. Let's talk about the intimacy issue for a moment. You said the last 2 years your husband won't have sexual intimacy with you. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, so if I approach him, he will most of the time, but if I don't, then absolutely nothing.
Okay, so only if you approach him. So, was it different at the beginning of the relationship, or at the beginning of the marriage?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Okay, and did anything particular happen? Was there a problem or anything that occurred that would change your sexual relationship?
Well, I guess just. It never was super good. It was okay, but nothing extremely exciting.
Okay, so it was it was okay. It wasn't super good. It wasn't exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay. So, and you think that is why perhaps he has lost interest?
I think so.
Hmm. And do you know if he is using pornography or looking at other things to occupy his attention sexually?
I think so.
Hmm.
Yes, I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that can really, you know, a lot of people don't understand sexuality, that at first, for many couples, it's very, very exciting because it's new, it's thrilling, and there's adrenaline and excitement. But just as all types of love and relationships, sex falls into, it takes a dip and falls into sort of a normal zone where it sometimes is better and sometimes it's not as good. And there's just this normalized sexual period of time that really makes up the majority of our sexual experience. And then people are all of a sudden saying, what happened? Why isn't it as exciting as it was? And so people can turn away from the relationship because they don't know what to do without that initial euphoria. And they want everything to have that excitement. And that may be one of the things. Have you thought of going to a couples counselor and talking about it?
I have a while ago, but I don't think he's interested in that.
Well, you can ask him to be interested. He might not be interested, but you could ask him to go with you and figure out what's going on. This is something that needs to be discussed. Alice, what do you think?
Beth, I get the sense that you think this is a topic you're not allowed to touch or to have strong opinions and requirements and demands about. So over the break, I want you to think about why. Why are you tentative about this? It's understandable, but why are you tentative? And then we can help you figure out what to do and how the church should be involved.
All right, we got to go to a break, but I'm telling you, Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is where we deal with this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. And Alice, you had a question you wanted to follow up with it.
I do. Beth, I wonder if you feel like you do not have the right to be upset and up in arms about your husband's pornography use.
You know what? I've approached it kindly. I have thought about it, and I think I reached the point when I'm like, it really, maybe that's, I don't know, maybe I just need to take a different approach, and maybe that's God's will.
When you have approached it with your husband before, how has he responded to your concerns?
He knows that there is a, you know, an issue with that, but really we never resolved anything. It's always the same.
I think you're right then, that it is the time for a different approach. And you probably have received the same message I have my whole life, almost my whole life until New Life, which is that pornography use is normal. Every man does it. So it's basically to be expected. And it's better than a full affair. So we can feel like we're not supposed to say anything because every man out there is supposedly using pornography and we kind of just have to put up with it. I'm glad you have brought it up, that you have talked about it, you've approached it with your husband, and now I think it is time to step it up, to let him know it's upsetting you, that nothing is happening, you're worried for the state of your marriage, and you need him to get the structured help to safeguard your marriage from this form of infidelity.
Mm-hmm. So you've called us, and you've asked us for some help here, and it seems to me that the most helpful thing we could do is to get you to see that the pornography isn't kind of a symptom of your overall just kind of crummy situation with intimacy. It is the cause of it. Now, let's just say I was a little bit wrong about that. Let's say I was off by 50%. Here's what I'm not off of. If he will get help so that he eliminates it altogether and focuses on you, that is the answer to your problem. Because when you stop the pornography, stop objectifying, stop gratifying yourself while you objectify the woman that you're married, or all women, and all that stuff, now I can start to understand what intimacy is, what a connection, a real heart connection is with another person. But that's not going to happen as long as he's got the pornography problem. And so, you know, sometimes it happens when a woman says, go to every man's battle. Just do that. It's the least you could do. Sometimes it happens because she goes to restore first. I don't know what it is, but that pornography thing, it's never just a little thing. It becomes the heart of the problem. So I'm going to encourage you. Maybe you need to see a counselor to get enough courage to do it the right way, whatever. But I'm going to send you this book, Worthy of Her Trust. And I want you to see just how worthy you are of his doing whatever it takes to become a trustworthy man. And, you know, a lot of times you hear mixed messages from the Christian community. Well, you've got to forgive him, or you've got to do this or that. Hey, he has to see this as a central core problem that only he can take care of. So I'm going to send you this Worthy of Her Trust, and I hope it's going to help you as you look through it, see what he needs to be doing, because he is way so far away from being the man that you need, the man that I think God is expecting him to be. In the studio is Larry, Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, welcome, and let's talk about New Life here. Well, yeah, how's it going?
It's going really well. You know, we had such a good workshop on this on Saturday online with Finding Freedom, and we already got a note in the email, a testimony. And this gal writes...
What did it say?
She said, the conference was amazing. Steve, Chris, and the New Life team did an incredible job. The material provided and their encouraging, uplifting, inspiring, biblically-based presentations were excellent. The conference helped me so much, and I believe I'm on the road to restoration. My counselor, Elena, was a blessing to our group. Our group members easily bonded. My engagement with New Life has been life-changing. With God and New Life, I'm on a healing journey emotionally and spiritually. So she was quite satisfied. And you know, Steve, we've had similar reaction to our online workshop for Every Man's Battle. This week we're doing Restore, and I'm really confident we'll have the similar reaction, that people are getting the help they need. It's amazing. So for that reason, we seek
support. You know, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is, we believe in the face-to-face workshops that we've always done, but now's your chance to get access to these, because they really are producing an amazing impact. And we couldn't do it with, you know, all the numbers change and everything. We couldn't do it without the support of our folks. And I'm really hoping that they'll support us so we can help more people in this way.
And your gift will still be doubled. Make a gift with a matching challenge. We're at 210,000. Yep. So we've got a ways to go to get 375, but We're going to get there, and it will help immensely. So thank you, everybody who's giving.
Well, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and just be willing to do whatever it takes to get help for you if you need it. But also, it's the same number to help us help others. If you've been blessed in some way, we're reaching people like we never have before because of this virus, please join us for that. Also, I want to mention, too, tomorrow we're going to have Ron Archer on. We had Ron on a special program a couple of weeks ago, and people loved him. We're going to have him back and do some more with him. So you want to tune in. He is quite a leader with quite a message. We'll have him on. All right, let's go to, how about, we talked to Jose from Los Angeles, California, listening online. Jose, how are you today? How's it going?
Good. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Hello? Doing all right. Glad you called. And how can we help you?
Well, I was trying to explain that. So I'm married right now with my wife, and I've been married for about 15 years. We have three kids. They're older already. I guess the youngest one's 13. So I don't think I'm in love with my wife anymore, for one. I just became a believer last year. You know, where me and one of my daughters, the Lord was able to show me the fruits of my work by delivering one of my daughters to me. I'm working on the smallest one, the youngest, the middle one. She's back out there, and you know, all I can do is show her love. But my wife doesn't want to come along at all, and I think that's what makes me unattractive to her. Back in October, we did file for divorce. I filed for divorce, and that kind of busted me up because I was reading the Bible, and I know the Bible says that God hates divorces, and I know there's grounds for divorce, and I was covered under that, but I know it's going to be still a long journey after that. Still, we do still have sexual relations.
Let me ask you. A quick question, Jose.
Yes.
Jose, let me ask you a question. Just so we have enough time to help you, if I was talking to her and I said, yes, what's the biggest complaint here that would cause you want a divorce, what would she say?
I think she thinks that, of course, like anybody else that comes to the Lord, I think she thinks that it's just a phase, that I'm fake, or, you know, that I'll fall back. I think, you know, I know I was abusive when I was not within the Lord. I don't know. She's pointing out the negative in me all the time. And I just kind of, you know, try to do what the Bible says, just to show her love and peace. And I, you know, for whatever reason, she takes advantage of me, I guess, in a way.
I love where your heart is going with the Lord and your relationship and your working to save your daughters. I think that you are overlooking the depth of the damage that you did to your wife. A year is such a short time for you to be a different man after 14 years of being abusive.
Correct.
And you have the humility to tell us you were abusive. But that damage you did doesn't get erased in your wife's heart and mind because you were saved. And so if you haven't yet done the work to repair the damage that you did, then God is still calling you to do more work, whether or not you and your wife stay in your marriage. But I think you have to do some deep, deep acknowledgement to her and draw out her, or ask, at least invite her to speak to you about the pain that you caused her, and be her listener without excuses and without justification. Not enough of that work has been done yet.
We've sat.
And bringing, well, I'm just saying, if she's bringing this up to you, and not really thinking that you coming to the Lord has solved all of this, and then you're thinking, you know, I'm really different. Well, you're probably not going to be in love with her. Probably not going to want to be around her.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn. And so I'm just wondering, Jose, if she has experienced this abuse, and like Alice is saying, she's not over that. I wonder if you've thought about doing something specifically that would say, here, I didn't just accept Jesus, but I'm going to work on this part of my character too, because we don't just get everything fixed when we come to the Lord, but I'm going to work on this character to be a better husband to you or to connect more with you so that you can be secure that I'm not just going to one day flip back into the old me. Have you thought about anything like that, Jose?
Yes. So what I have done is I've asked to wash her feet for one. I've asked to wash her and all the kids' feet. I want to wash them once a week. They won't let me, just to show them the humility that Jesus had, and that's what we have to start. We have to do ourselves like that. Mm-hmm. So one thing when I was in the world, obviously I got the respect I wanted. Well, I demanded the respect I wanted, and I would get it regardless how I got it. I would get my respect, whether it was by fear or just because it was me. I get the respect wherever I went. I come home now, and I don't get mad. Well, even though if I do get mad, I fight the flesh. I try not to say anything. Every once in a while, some sarcastic stuff will come out, and that's what she really hates about me, is the sarcasm. So I won't get mad about the house. Mm-hmm. You know, not being clean to my, you know, the way I want it cleaned, or even if it's dirty, period. I'll wash the dishes, which I never did before. I'll do all these things, but she doesn't realize that, and I don't like to show it to her because I try to do it in God's glory. I still pissed off, and then, you know, obviously the brothers in the church told me that if I'm not going to do something within the Lord, don't do it, you know, because I got to do it in God's, the Lord's glory. So I stopped doing it and saying something about it. I'll either pray or I'll praise God as I'm doing things that I don't want to do around the house. And still I don't get nothing, you know.
Okay, so back a little. Let me mention this, Jose. Washing her feet, wanting to wash her feet, and could be perceived as acting spiritual rather than humble in her mind, because she's kind of put off by all that's going on spiritually there. And if you're doing stuff and you're angry while you do it, you know that a woman has a sixth sense that you might as well just not do it. So again, I think there might be some work to be done there to resolve some anger and bitterness. And I'll just ask Alice and Mylon to chime in on this. Or,
you know, Jose, thank you for your call. I appreciate your humility and all the things you want to do. I love your heart, like Alice said. You know, what's interesting, Jose, if I ask you the question, as a child, did you grow up in a home where you saw anger, intimidation, and perhaps you were abused if you weren't cooperative? What would your answer be to that?
So I grew up in a house in a traditional Hispanic house where the wife did this and the man did that. My dad was not an alcoholic, although he did drink. We were brought up like most Hispanics in the Catholic religion, believing in things that we probably shouldn't be believing in, doing things by works instead of by relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And she grew up in the same household.
Right.
She grew up with just like me.
Okay, so.
And so she still believes in some of that stuff that, you know.
Okay,
that,
now.
She still believes that works together.
I understand that. But I'm going back to your statement that you would get respect no matter what from your peers and your associates. And you would use anger, intimidation, or perhaps even abuse to another person to get that. Now, was that a part of your upbringing?
Yes and no. If I got in trouble, I did get beat.
Okay.
I mean,
got it. Now, I just, if you can wash her feet, like you suggested, or you could sit down with her and say, you know what? I am learning new things from the Bible that my culture didn't teach me correctly. And I'm learning new things. And one of the things I'm realizing is I didn't have a way to communicate with people. When I was frustrated, I didn't have a way when I felt disrespected to talk about it. I would command, require, intimidate to get respect. And I understand now historically, I understand my history as to how and why I was unkind to you. And for her to begin to understand that you are understanding, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way which they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. So that can even be bad influences. And Jose, all of us have to overcome something that our culture, our family, our society, our neighborhood taught us. I sure did. And to be able to talk to her about that and to be able to say, these are things I'm trying to learn, and I want you to know what I'm learning, and I apologize for that, and I want to change that. And if I ever make you frightened, would you please tell me? And to be able to create an open communication like that is going to be important for your children. It's going to be important for your wife.
I've done that.
Amen. Good. I'm so glad that you called us.
And excellent. Keep doing it, Jose.
Yeah. Okay. I wish we had more time, but here's the thing. I'm going to send you the manual on how to connect with a woman. And I got to tell you, I don't know of any book that's provided deeper insight than this book, and it's called How We Love. I'll send you the workbook with it. And I tell you this, if she won't read the Bible with you, what if she would sit down with you and go over this book with you? Wouldn't that be amazing? You're going to find stuff in here that you just won't even believe. It's like he lived with you when you were growing up. He and Kay wrote the book. I'll send it to you. But I'm so glad that that you called and Milam was on to say to you, let's do the talk, let's do the connection. And, you know, like many men, if you're like me, it's hard to just listen and to affirm the feeling, to acknowledge it, to try to feel what they are feeling, especially when you are angry. You know, I forget who said this, but somebody really big shot famous person said, when God calls us, if we don't feel the call to love, then the call has not been effective, or it was the wrong call, or something really close to that profound. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. When we are in a redemptive relationship with God, it needs to play out in our feelings toward others. Because the more compassion that we experience from God, then the more we want to give it to somebody else. I'm so glad he called. I know many of you are in the same situation. You're trying to do so great as he is. He's such a great guy, and nothing's working, and it's just really frustrating you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you. At 5 o'clock today on Facebook Live, we're going deeper, and today I'm talking about anorexia. Now, this was a request that was made by one of our listeners. Could I do something on this? I've just done the whole thing with Lose It for Life, explaining why it was when people said you need to exercise, I always heard you need extra fries. We dealt with that. Now we deal with anorexia. And then we've got it. We're starting our series on narcissism. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you could help us, please call, same number. Don't forget, every man's battle is June 20th, but the 20th of June, this Saturday, is Restore. Call us and be part of this healing community for Restore. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.